Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Pollock and Thurston Interview. The man in the hot seat today, getting ready for probably their biggest week of the year coming up with all of the events in and around Los Angeles, California. He is the COO of Fight TV, Mike Weber, back here on the program. Mike, how are you? It is the calm before the storm, I guess, next week as you guys have. First of all, is this your biggest week of the year in terms of volume and engagement?
It's a strong weekend. It's a very big weekend. The thing is, as we progress, it seems like we're getting more and more weekends like this all the time. There's a weekend in mid-April. You can't believe how many different wrestling shows we have. You know, with Impact, AAA, and New Japan all in the same weekend, and OVW and so forth. But yeah, it's a big weekend for us. It's sort of nice. It's all at one location there. We got about 18 shows this weekend. Actually, we have done as many as 35 shows during WrestleMania weekend when WrestleMania was in New York. There's just a lot more opportunities in New York than there was LA for live shows. But yeah, we're real excited about what we got going on next week.
This has also been the launch of Fight Plus this year, and we wanted to talk a bit with you about how long this has been in the pipeline and the idea of creating a subscription model as opposed to the a la carte viewing that, you know, Fight TV has very much popularized within the pro wrestling landscape.
Yeah, we've been working on a subscription service called Fight Plus here for about 2 years, sort of born out of the pandemic. When we're looking to expand, when all of a sudden we didn't have this many live shows. So Fight Plus has been a great addition to the team. It's really taken off here in the last several months since we've had GCW, and of course bare knuckle fighting's on there as well now. So we get some great content on the platform. And of course, you know, in LA, you know, GCW has had the collective for a number of years putting together their, this year they got 11 shows, but they've done as many as 15 in this weekend. And people have paid as much as $135, $150, $165 to watch all the GCW shows as a bundle. Now they're all available on Fight Plus. And frankly, you know, you can buy a whole annual membership for only $69 to Fight Plus. So it's actually a great deal for the fans to see the programming they want. And GCW this year's got some great stuff now with the, you know, seventh annual Joey Janela Spring Break, the ninth annual Josh Barnett Bloodsport DDT, of course, Effie's Big Gay Brunch. You know, so it goes on and on. They have a great lineup of shows there on top of that. And of course, we got some other events which are offered as a standalone, but they're unique events in themselves. And, you know, the Impact Wrestling and New Japan coming together for a joint event called Metaverse. Tokyo Joshi, Japanese women's wrestling, coming to LA. It's got a very strong following. Of course, Ring of Honor's got their event of the, you know, Supercard of Honor under the direction of Tony Khan now. And there's some great events to showcase that weekend.
And Fight has all different methods of distribution for the content. Some of it is free. Some of it is part of the Fight Plus subscription. And some of it, as you said, is standalone. Just wondering what goes into deciding how it's going to be offered to the viewer, and whether that's a deal that you make with the partner themselves, or are there other considerations?
Well, you use a key term there. Everybody here is a partner of ours. So we make the decisions together, not in a vacuum. But we also, you know, we've done over 1,000 live events a year. So we have a lot of analytics of what works and what's the most beneficial to an organization. And sometimes it's a standalone pay-per-view, and sometimes it is free. I mean, we do OVW shows every Thursday night, excuse me, for free. And of course, in the subscription service, one thing we are taking into account right now is, as we definitely know, the economy has changed. And, you know, people really think about how they spend their hard-earned money. And that's why the Fight Plus has become a great opportunity now to, you know, spread your take advantage of the savings there, only $7.99 a month. That's still a fantastic deal for a subscription service of any type, and especially in the sports world when you have, you know, ESPN and DAZN and these other platforms definitely charging quite a bit more than what we charge for Fight Plus.
How deep does some of your analytics go when it comes to data? When you're looking at something like The Collective, is it indicative of people that are, like, do a lot of these shows bring their own audience? Do you find, like, a high level of crossover between the shows? Anything that you can sort of reveal in terms of, like, just trends you see when it comes to something like The Collective that is under this umbrella but still very uniquely packaged shows?
Well, GCW, fortunately, we've done quite a few. I think this is probably the third or fourth collective we've done with them. And, you know, of course, we know there are 75 shows a year. So the analytics on GCW is very deep. We know how loyal their fan base is and how much they like watching other wrestling shows as well. So, yeah, we go relatively deep, and it's really easy to go deep when you just have a lot of content over a period of time that you can really draw a plan. I mean, we've been doing this for 7 years now. In that period, we've probably done about 7,500 live shows. And practice makes perfect, and information out there is very valuable to us to make the right decisions.
And when it comes to how you make these partnerships with different wrestling companies, I was wondering if you could give us any insight. I'm sure you don't want to go into numbers or anything like that, but, like, are there different sort of agreements in terms of are the wrestling companies or other partners being compensated based on engagement, or do some companies even have rights deals like we're familiar talking about when it comes to WWE and things like that?
Well, I mean, everybody we're doing with it, we have a rights deal with. So there's really not a lot of, you know, to it's pretty black and white for us, to be honest with you. We're partners. You make more money, we make more money. it's a pretty clear relationship there, how it works there. So we both work together very closely in marketing the events, in promoting, and so forth. And, it works out well. Obviously, some of these events, but not in the case of next weekend, some of them are on cable and satellite, but next weekend's events are all exclusive to Fight, and that's very important to us.
When it comes to newer companies that are emerging and wanting to get on the platform, like if it was Pollock and Thurston Pro Wrestling that was launching and you've never heard of us and we're coming to you, What are some of the criteria, and has that evolved over the years of sort of what is the standard you are looking for, where it's not as proof of concept like a GCW that you have so much experience with or some of their offshoots?
No, this is something we deal with every day. Matter of fact, I did about 3-4 of these calls yesterday. Only one of them in wrestling, but we also do it in boxing too. You know, listen, as a starting company 7 years ago, pretty much is almost anything we would take. The bar was pretty low. We're not getting snotty about it, but we do want to have a good television production. Fortunately, in wrestling, very, very few companies I have to have issues with what they put in the ring. It's more about their fan base, of how they market themselves, and the TV production. You know, simple things like making sure your ring announcer is part, they can hear through the commentary, you know, and stuff like this. Make sure you have enough lights so you can actually see the tops of the guys' heads. So it's some pretty darn basic stuff here, but we are upping the production quality of events, and we do work on that quite hard. And there's a lot of promoters now, we say, okay, like your show, we appreciate your effort and stuff, but maybe you should test it out a little more doing it on YouTube nationally or some other platform, and then come back to us in a few months and, hopefully you guys have gotten the experience to put a good, well-produced show together.
Last time you talked to John here was just about a year ago, I think, leading up to last year's WrestleMania. And at that time, Triller was about to go public, I think, a couple months away. Just wondering, how has Triller, being a public company, who is your parent company, how has that changed Fight?
Well, unfortunately, they haven't gone public yet. They're still working on that yet. I do anticipate here in April. I mean, we talk to auditors on a daily basis for them to put together their S-1 filing. This is not a real super secret. So they have not released a date, but we anticipate it's pending and very soon. And that will change things for us. Right now, it's been pretty much status quo moving forward with our company here and doing well. I mean, we're still averaging our 25 to 35 live shows a weekend. All the time we start adding in on the boxing events. We had some great boxing this weekend. Of course, we work in bare knuckle fighting quite closely, which is also was acquired by Triller, which is a real important factor for our development of our relationship with them that we now have the same parent company.
I wanted to ask as well, just sort of your thoughts when it comes to the, you know, the evolving technology when it comes to a lot of these buildings that you're dealing with. I think that that is always something that, you know, it seems like it's more of a thing of the past now of making sure a stream is reliable. Like there's a certain consistency that I think Fight has developed. But when you are assessing like buildings that you have not run before, what are some of the checkpoints that you're looking for just that a building can carry a live stream for 3 hours or so?
Well, we always want to make sure it's a dedicated internet stream. And fortunately, it's much better than it was when we started 7 years ago. But one of our major development in the technology standpoint is there's something called Live U Box, which uses a bonded cellular component to it to deliver. So that's a good backup if there's a subpar internet in the venue. So it's changed, quite a bit here. I won't say we still worry about it every single weekend to make sure we have the right, technology coming out of the building for us. And speaking of technology, Fight has really made some great strides on our own platform. We just released this past weekend a new version on iOS. We also had a new version on Android here about a month or so ago. Our website has been updated, and we think we've enhanced the viewing experience on Fight too, which is where we've been putting a lot of our time and effort in from a technology standpoint. And we want to make sure I mean, frankly, right now, of course, I'm biased, but I think we had probably one of the best viewing experiences for an app out there right now.
I know that in the past we had spoken and you had mentioned like one of the very unique attributes of professional wrestling is the replay value. Is that still Yes. the case when it comes to that, you know, WrestleMania weekend, there's going to be so many events and it's not foreign that people will go back and watch shows. Whereas boxing, MMA, bare knuckle, it's sort of a small window that you have where it's relevant to the fight audience. And once the result is out, it's almost as though it's on to the next event.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic how different the viewing experience is for boxing fans and wrestling fans. Boxing fans, the minute that fight's over, we probably will do single digits in buys. Whereas wrestling, after the event's over, we'll probably add another 20 to 25%. Viewership to those fights. And of course, now Fight Plus, that's geared to a lot of VOD content, and wrestling is thriving on that platform because people can go back and, you know, I think GCW alone, we have over 220, 230 past wrestling shows on the archive in the system. That makes a big difference there. Matter of fact, just this morning, because I missed it, I went back and watched a good portion of AEW Dynamite from last week because I, and it's always fun the first time you watch it, nevertheless, it was live or not. And wrestling lends itself, because wrestling is more of a show than, say, a boxing event where you can read the results in the paper the next morning or on paper. That tells you how old I am. Online, minutes after it happens, you know.
Following the industry, do you notice any patterns of, like, what spikes interest in a match coming out of a weekend, whether it's a heavily reviewed match or if it's maybe some controversial spot that has sent Twitter into a giant debate? I mean, are there any certain trigger points where, you know, that's going to draw a lot of interest back to a show that maybe the night of isn't on everyone's radar?
I think the name of the wrestlers is still so important, who it is, what their background is. That's going to get the casual viewer in there who knows of certain wrestlers. Oh, they're going to be on this show. I want to see it. You know, unlike, say, AEW or WWE or even Impact, most of these shows are not that we're airing especially during next weekend, are not storyline driven as much. But they all know that, and, you know, GCW's done this. You know, they attach, you know, Joey Janela's name, Josh Barnett's name, Jimmy Lloyd's name even to events there. And that gives the tenor of what the show's going to be like. And that gets people excited. A New Japan versus Impact is exciting opportunity because it just doesn't happen every day. So you got specialties there, and that's what's making it work.
I remember early on in the pandemic talking to a few independent wrestling promoters who were really pessimistic about the future of independent wrestling at that time because, you know, the pandemic was happening and that stopped live events. Speaking out happened, and that, you know, caused a lot of controversy for a lot of promotions. And AEW coming up and taking a lot of talent was another concern, so that there wasn't as much named talent to bring in. So I'm just wondering from your perspective, do you feel that independent wrestling has changed a lot in the last several years, or is that just sort of offset? If that's the case, is that just offset by streaming being more embraced as time goes on?
Well, I think independent wrestling has grown because there is streaming and people can find it easier instead of tape trading and so forth like it was back in the day. And I'm dealing with more and more companies said, well, we started because of the pandemic. You know, some of the small companies here, and they're getting their feet wet and seeing how much how well it was working for them to do stuff. So, yeah. Quite experience. I think independent wrestling is growing. And frankly, I think AEW has probably helped independent wrestling because so many of their top stars, they almost encourage, or they do encourage, other shows on the weekend, especially some of the younger guys, so they can get more ring time. And so, frankly, I think it's the independent wrestling scene has surged here the last 2-3 years.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just getting back to the collective, which of course will be available on Fight Plus, and when it came to sort of this strategy, like frankly, you have a pretty rabid wrestling audience that is not shy about spending a lot of money when it comes to pro wrestling on a yearly basis. Was it sort of any trepidation on anyone's part of, you know, this is such a great deal when you're talking about $8 that you can get all of these shows with an audience that frankly, like they have shown, like they will spend many multiples of that for some of these big events. Can you just take me a little into the decision making? Like, this is obviously an investment in Fight Plus to introduce a lot of people this coming week.
Well, subscription is definitely a good big part of our future because of the economics of it and the revenue that you can count on a month by month basis. One thing we did do some research on GCW, so we do 75 shows with them a year with them, but it was a very small percentage of people who bought more than 4 or 5 a year. So we knew the fan base is there. People were interested enough to pay for a show here, but people did not buy all 75 shows. It was actually a much smaller number than we thought it would be, but it had a larger base of people. And so we trust me, again, I work with engineers and we're a technology company. So a lot of calculations went into this doing projections and figured out it's actually more advantageous to for a product like GCW and some other other companies here to run the subscription model. Cause the fans were there and they're willing to pay that subscription and they're willing to pay for it, but they're just not willing to pay for 75 shows in a year.
Do you see that being a major, like for companies out there that are looking at creating their own isolated streaming service? Like so many, they're coming at it from the perspective, like we've got the content to deliver. But I think like what you've outlined here is that the technological back end, that is the nucleus of being able to have like a thriving streaming service.
Yeah, I mean, the technology is not easy to do. I mean, fortunately, we were a technology company first. I mean, they spent 2 years developing the technology before I got involved 8 years ago. And that really has helped us propel us in the direction that we're going there. So it's been great with that. And it really, you want to be part of something bigger. I mean, WWE approved it. They moved to Peacock. Peacock's thriving. So is WWE Network. It's worked perfectly for them. And I think that's one of the best cases we can make, that doing your own standalone pay-per-view or even subscription platform just doesn't make sense with all the time, effort you got to put into to develop the technology to do it and money. It makes more sense. Let the guys who do streaming on a daily basis handle it. And I just came from a conference in New York with all my counterparts in OTT industry, and that was the prevailing thought there. You know, when you're listening to, you know, Amazon and Netflix and organization like Peacock talk about their programming, it's much better to be part of a bigger thing than just on standalone. I mean, how many subscriptions do you really want? You know, you gotta have your Netflix and you gotta have your Prime, and then it starts adding up pretty quickly. So just having one subscription for, say, the wrestling category or the combat sports category, which would be Fight, makes more sense than having a GCW app. And I don't want to start taking shots at everybody, but, you know, having separate individual streaming services just for your brand. So it's much better to be out there. I mean, the only brands that really can support a streaming service on their own is, like, you know, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, stuff like that.
Just thinking internationally, you've done work lately with the cyber fight brands like Noah, and you're doing one upcoming with Tokyo Joshi Pro and with DDT. Are there other opportunities with, you know, fairly big international promotions? The ones that come to mind for me that I don't think you've done work with yet is Dragon Gate. And I think that you've done a little bit in the past with All Japan, and even Stardom is doing some pay-per-view events that are away from its subscription service.
So Stardom, we've had conversation. We actually have aired a Stardom event in the past and it's done well, but they're very much, you know, they have a similar business model as New Japan has in with the TV Asahi. And so they really want to keep everything there. I believe they're putting it on New Japan World platform. So they do have their own platform. I disagree with that direction, but that's the direction they're going. And we do work with other, you know, we just aired this past Sunday, you know, a AAA Lucha event. So we're working with them internationally. We have had some initial conversation of Dragon Gate, and we actually have done All Japan in the past. And we've been trying to figure out how to resurrect that relationship there. And I'm one guy doing all of it, so don't get done quite as quickly as I'd want to do it. I would like to do more and more. But, yeah, it's very important to us to have the international wrestling. Where we have really progressed is in the UK, working with more and more wrestling organizations there. We just did an announcement about a deal and done some of their first events again. It was Insane Championship Wrestling out of Glasgow. We had worked with them before they went to WWE. And, they've been great coming back here and excited. And we're talking to some other organizations UK right now as well,
and their deal had just ended, it appeared, with WWE, with where they were on Peacock, and same thing for Progress. So it appears that Progress is available right now too.
It appears that way. We are in conversations with them, so we hope to have them on board. We are very familiar with them, good people, and we hope we can just make a deal that works for both of us, and that's always the key to it. So but we're excited about it. And then one thing I want to mention, you know, in advancement of our Fight platform stuff too, is we have now really raised the bar with Fight 24/7. And Fight 24/7 is a free viewing service that's available on many, many platforms, most notably on Roku. And of course, it's on within our Fight platform as well. And it essentially featuring boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling events that you can watch 24/7. It's a continuous stream of there. And we just announced that we've hit our million hours of viewership here in the first year of operation for that. So, back to your original point is, we do offer programming on free pay-per-view and subscription. So really, you know, choose the way you like to watch us. We'll make it happen for you.
And just to follow up on the AAA front after this weekend's event, are there X amount of shows on the calendar for Fight this year that you're committed to with AAA, or is that still in negotiations?
No, we're committed to – right now there's going to be four major pay-per-view events. Long-term, we do want to work with them to have them more of their shows on to Fight Plus. But right now the focus is their major four events, the Triple Manias events, which are coming up here. I think the next one's in mid-April, and then I think the early summer and late summer, I believe, is what the schedule is. And they've been great partners to work with. We offer those shows in English and Spanish. Which is another sort of cool thing about our platform. Like, the AEW pay-per-view events, while we don't have rights in the United States, we do offer those shows in English, Spanish, French, and German because we have pretty much the rest of the world, and it does quite well for us.
And my last question, I mean, you have had quite the career in all of combat sports, and someone with as much of an ear to the ground as you do, where's WWE going to be at the end of this year? Do you have any thoughts on what could be a very seismic year for the company?
Well, obviously, they're getting themselves set up for sale. I talked to a gentleman at WWE this morning, and they are doing everything they can to be the most cost-efficient vehicle to make their books look good as ever, and which there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be. They're not sending as many people to L.A. as they normally would for WrestleMania.
Right.
They made their share of cutbacks and so forth to make themselves as lean and mean as possible, which obviously makes yourself attractive to an investor or a buyer. I got to tell you, my money, and I have nothing to base this on other than doing this a long time, I think Endeavor would be a very good partner for them. If I was running Endeavor, it makes sense. They already got the UFC deal. They also do PBR, so they know the vet business and television business. And I think that would make – and they already have a working relationship with them since they still power their WWE network, which is available around the rest of the world using Endeavor technology. So I think Endeavor has to be a front runner, even though I think they may have said they aren't. don't believe everything.
Ari Emanuel has downplayed it, yeah.
Yeah. It's called negotiations. I'm sure Nick may have downplayed it also, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's the direction it went. That doesn't mean it's going to, but it's going to be an interesting year because I got to tell you, what happens with WWE is going to dictate a lot of what the potential for AEW is going to be here at the end of the year too. It's just sort of interesting. They're on a parallel trend here to make major changes to their television distribution over the next 9 months. So there's going to be a lot to watch here. And there's a lot of guys like me who are watching it very closely, for sure.
Well, you always have an open microphone here, Mike, if you ever want to come and share your analysis in the wake of this. Anything else from you, Brandon, before we sign off?
That's it. I had the W question on my sheet, too. You got me.
Well, we want to direct everyone over to Fight.tv. And next week, they will be busier than ever with all of the events going down. And anything else you want to direct our viewers towards, Mike, next week? I'm sure many people that are watching this are going to be logged on to Fight throughout the entire week.
No, I just mostly, as we like to spell Fight, F-I-T-E, download now and use it and experience it. If you've never been on it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how easy it is to find the type of programming that you want. And also watch out in the future here, because we are expanding into some other areas of sport beyond combat sports of soccer and rugby and programming like that.
Well, Mike, we want to thank you so much for the time. I've said before to others, I think you definitely have a book in you one day if you ever want to recount your times. WWF, WCW, TNA, Fight TV. I mean, you've run the gamut in this industry, and we very much appreciate the time and all the best next week.
Yeah, I have a hard time holding a job down. So, yeah. So, be more than happy to. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys' time today.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.